Revelation chapter number 3, or chapter number 2, I'm sorry, Revelation chapter number 2. Last week we began to explore about the church at Ephesus and about how the church at Ephesus had left its first love. But this morning we want to look on another part of the church of Ephesus and the promise that God made to this church. It's not enough to simply say, okay, Lord, you've saved me, and then stay satisfied right where you are. A lot of people want to trust the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's fantastic. That's the most important decision you ever make in your life. But what happens is that we just stay put, and we don't realize and understand what is in the connotation of that. What it really means to be saved. What's the benefits of being saved? When we go to buy a new car, we like to look at all the bells and whistles and all the things that that new car offers, and the automatic this and the automatic this and this and that, and we're all enamored with it. And we're driving down the road and we say, wow, I can't believe they put that in a car. I remember my 74 Ford Pinto driving. It had the vinyl green seats. And it had the window you had to crank down like this. And sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. And I remember the fact that it was a driving time bomb, because if somebody hit me in the back, I'd be an instant bomb, blew up. But I remember it was my first car that I was able to drive, and I had the freedom, and I was like, yes, and I love the windows, and I love this. I didn't care because it was my car. But then when I got a brand new car one day, it had all the bells and whistles. The windows went up and down by pushing a button. I had a radio that actually worked. And it had a couple other things that were the seat could move up and forth. I wasn't worried about getting hit behind. And the advantages of that. And I took advantage of every single one of them. But here's the problem. We trust Jesus Christ as our Savior. And then we think, I'm done. That's it. That's as far as I go. I don't have to do anymore. But here's the truth that I want to show you this morning. When you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, it's just the beginning. God doesn't expect you to just simply stay right there. He doesn't expect you to have your fireproof suit on and you're going to heaven and that's all that matters. No, God expects you to have the fringe benefits. God expects you to understand and realize what He's really done for you. Jesus didn't die just so you don't go to hell. Jesus died so that you may have life and have it more abundantly. If your Savior died just simply so you don't go to hell, that's the wrong type of Savior. Our Savior died so that we can have eternal life, not eternal apathy. Amen? So look here, Revelation chapter number 2 with me. Look what he says to this church in verse number 7. He says in verse number 1 through 6, he says, listen, you do this and you do this, but here's the problem that I have with you. But look what he says about verse number 7. He says, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. He says, listen, if you have an ear, hear me. How many of you have an ear? How many of you have two ears? How many of you hate the way your mask makes your ears stick out? I hate it. But that's not the type of ear that John is talking about this morning. He's talking about a spiritual ear. How many of you have a spiritual ear to hear? Definitely, that could be true. We all have a spiritual ear, but is that ear open to the things of God? He says, hear what the spiritual ear wants to hear by the Holy Spirit telling us this. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Overcometh. What does it mean to overcome? What it means is that you have eternal life, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question. Are you an overcomer this morning? Not by your effort. Have you overcome by the blood of the Lamb? And if you've overcome by the blood of the Lamb, you have been given more than just an asbestos fire suit. You have been given more than just a home in heaven someday that you're waiting to. You have been given abundant life. And I want to give you four passages of Scripture this morning that describe that abundant life that God has given to you. But here's the problem. Some of you just want to be entertained. Some of you just want me to get up here and say a few words, say some nice little things, and then you go home unchanged. I'm asking you this morning that you'll take the Scriptures that I'm going to give to you, and that you will apply them to your life, and you'll hide them in your heart, and use them as you go about your days. Because being saved is more than being saved from hell. Being saved means we have abundant life, eternal life with our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want my Pinto no more. I'm past vinyl seats and roll down windows. I want everything you can get on a vehicle and a whole lot more. So here's what I want you to try today. God, show me what you've given to me. Show me, God, what you have given to me through the blood of Jesus Christ. Show me, God, how I'm an overcomer. So four truths of being an overcomer. Look at number one. Look at number with me. We are new creations. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Turn with me if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. We are new creations. We're not a makeover. We are brand new. We are not just simply an old model that's been revamped. We are a brand new creation. We are something fresh off the assembly line. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse number 7. Here's what it says. No, 17, not 7. All right. Therefore, if any man, not just talking about males, talking about human beings, those who believe in Christ as their Savior, if any man be in Christ, put your name right there by that. If you are in Christ, this is a promise made to you. This is God's promise made to you. If any man is in Christ, that means an overcomer, bought by the blood of the Lamb, he is a new creature, brand new, spanking with that wonderful new car smell. How many of you love that new car smell? Yeah. You open that door up and it's like, wow. And you get in there and you feel the seats and you look at the dashboard and you're like, wow. Guess what? When you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you became a new creation. Now, you don't smell much different sometimes, but you're a new creation. Here's what it says. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. What all things is that? What things become old and what things become new? Well, when you trust Christ as your Savior, your appetites change. I'm not talking about food appetites because that never changes for some of us. I'm going to tell a story on my daughter this morning. She's down in the nursery, so she can't hear. She came to me yesterday. Was it yesterday or the day before? Yesterday. She said, you know what, Dad? I'm starting to like things that I never liked before. I like tomatoes now. I said, wow. It used to be war on the home front trying to get her to eat a tomato. Now she'll eat a tomato. She says, you know what, Dad? I like onions now. She said, my taste buds have changed. And I said, hallelujah. That makes ordering dinner a whole lot easier. And all the moms have said, amen. Don't you get tired of making dinner for picky eaters? But here's the thing. When you get saved, when Jesus Christ becomes your Savior, it's not your taste buds that change, it's your spiritual buds that change. You stop wanting to do what you used to do. He changes you from the inside out. When I got saved, I didn't want to go bar hopping anymore. When I got saved, I didn't want to go carousing anymore. When I got saved, I didn't want to get drunk anymore. When I got saved, He changed my appetites. I no longer wanted to lay in bed at home and miss church. He said, listen, I'm going to change you from the inside out. And you say, well, Brother Brian, that's never happened to me. Well, then maybe you've not been made a new creature yet. Maybe Christ hasn't saved you. See, when you get saved, He makes the new creation. But that's an advantage. We're new creations. Look what he says. Old things are passed away. All things become new. Look at verse number 18. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So he says, you've become brand new and now you're not my enemy no more. Wow, think about it for a minute. When you don't know Christ as your Savior, you are God's enemy. How many of you know the road of it's Kirtland's Creek or not, going up the Marine? He's got the Marines, all the flags on. How many of you are familiar with that road? Okay, are you familiar with the sign that he has there? He says the Marines, what? No better friend, no greater what? Enemy. What's that imply? That if a Marine is your friend, you've got a friend for life. But if a Marine is your enemy, there's no worse enemy that you can have. I want to be blunt with you this morning. Some of you have an enemy, and that enemy is God, because you've never truly trusted Christ as your Savior. May I tell you, you'll never have a worse enemy than God. But here's the wonderful thing. God has made it possible for you to become His child by His Son, Jesus Christ. He is offering to make you brand new. He is offering to change you from the inside out. He is offering to make you His child. Why in the world wouldn't somebody want that? So look at me. Why don't you want that? Why don't you want to be brand new? Why don't you want to be the friend of God? Well, Brother Brian, that means I got to stop doing what I'm doing. I got to stop participating in this and participating in that. When I got saved, when Jesus Christ came and changed me, I didn't have to worry about waking up in the morning wondering what I did about the night before. I didn't have to worry about the police come knocking on my door. Before I got saved, I was worried about that because I didn't know what happened the night before. God changed me when He saved me. And I've told you this before, but before I trusted Christ, you would have wanted nothing to do with me. We say, brother, I don't want nothing to do with you now. But before I trusted Christ, you wouldn't have wanted to be around me. But when Jesus saved me, He changed me permanently. How about you? Are you changed? Are you different? If not, you may not belong to God. All right, look at the second thing. The second thing. Our minds have become renewable. Romans chapter 12. Our minds have become renewable. Our minds are renewable. In other words, what we formerly learned can be changed, can be overwritten, kind of like a hard drive in a computer. When you go and reformat that hard drive, it completely erases, or it's supposed to completely erase everything on that hard drive and give you something brand new to start. When you trust Christ as your Savior, guess what? Brand new information gets written on that hard drive. Romans chapter 12, verse number 1, Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, speaking to Christians, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then he says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. All right? So let me give you some new things that happened to you when Jesus Christ saved your soul. Number one, you have eternal life and you don't have to fear death anymore. You don't have to be afraid to die. How many of you are afraid to die this morning? I mean, honestly. Well, Brother Brian, I'm not afraid to die, but I don't want to die today. Well, that makes sense. When you trust Christ as your Savior, you don't have to be afraid to die because your soul's going someplace better. Brother Joel Barefoot passed away on Thursday. Passed away on Thursday. I talked to Miss Nancy. I went up there and spent some time with her. And I said, Miss Nancy, they got a beautiful view from her home. I mean, she can see all the way to Silva and the courthouse from their home. Beautiful view. I said, Miss Nancy, Brother Joel is seeing a whole lot better view than we are right now. He's no longer suffering. He's no longer struggling to breathe. He's no longer miserable. He's no longer attached to machines. He is free. He's not afraid anymore. When you trust Christ as your Savior, you're free from fear of death. Number two, you're given somebody that's always with you. How many are afraid to be alone? I am. I don't like being alone. We say, now wait a minute. I mean, I'm talking about alone like nobody cares. How many likes to have the thought that nobody cares about you? Nobody like that. Another promise that God makes to us, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Satan lies to you and says, hey, he doesn't care about you. God has no idea what you're going through. God expects you to do it yourself. God expects you to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. God expects you to... No, it never says you do it on yourself. God says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. You're never alone. The fear of being alone. Look what else it says here. The renewing of your mind. And what does that prove? The good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God has a perfect will for your life. How many of you don't want to know what God's will is for your life? Yeah. God, I want to know what your will is. And he says, okay, here's what I got in store for you. And he's got a perfectly, you know what the number one will is? Bring him honor and bring him glory. That's his number one will for your life, okay? All right. Oh my goodness, all right. That's gone. Number three. Let me show it to you. Go to Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. We are more alive than ever. We are more alive than ever. The next promise that we have. We are more alive than ever. Ephesians chapter number 2. The third truth of overcoming. We are more alive than ever. And you, verse number 1, and you has he quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. See, before you trust Christ as your Savior, you're dead. You're dead as a doornail. You're an enemy of God. You're dead because of your trespasses and sins. But he's made you alive. Verse number 2. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. He says, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and by nature the children of wrath, even as others. He said, listen, before you trusted Christ as your Savior, you were on the highway to hell. And you were living and walking with people who were on the highway to hell. Just like Van Halen sang, run with the devil. How dare you bring up Van Halen? Well, here's the truth. I was running with the devil, headed for hell, before I trusted Christ as my Savior. How many of you are doing the same thing? Only a few of you. I know all of you are one Sunday school champions. All of you are pure and holy. None of you did anything wrong. So let me ask you again. You were in church. How many of you were on the highway to hell before you trusted Christ your Savior? Every single one of you. Bunch of liars, you're on your highway to hell now then. We all headed there. I was headed there. And I was going 85 miles an hour. He says, that's where you were. But look at verse number 4. Look at this. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love therewith, he loved us. For when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. For by grace are you saved. And he has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He says, listen, you were that way. Now you're no longer that way. You are headed for a better place. You are alive, not dead. Can I get an Episcopalian to grunt amen this morning? We are more alive than ever. I was dead. They were throwing dirt on my coffin. You've heard the story about me hitchhiking drunk on the Autobahn. Any moment I could have been dead. But God protected me. Even as foolish and as wicked as I was. And then he saved my soul. And I'm more alive than I ever have been. I'm ashamed of what my past is. But I'm grateful for what my future is. I'm alive. How about you? Are you alive this morning? We are more alive than we ever were. Look at the fourth thing. Christ has become our life. Christ has become our life. Go to Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians chapter number 3. Christ has become our life. If ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on the things above, not on things on the earth. Why? For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. Now, here's what's trying to help us understand. Before we trusted Christ as our Savior, all God could see was our sins. That's all God could see. All he could see was my wickedness and my nastiness and the fact that I was his enemy. That's all he could see. But now that I'm in Christ, all he sees is the blood of Christ. I don't know if I need to tell this story or not, but I'm going to anyway. I remember in high school, way back when the dinosaurs roamed the earth, I thought I was being something one day, and this poor young lady was trying her best to make it down the hallway in crutches. And I was with my buddies, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to be cool. And I went and I kicked her crutches out from under her. Don't do that. And I thought my buddies were going to laugh and have a good time. And yeah, good job, everything else. But when I did that and I turned around, my buddies were gone. So I was walking to my next class, not realizing who that young lady really was. I just saw her as a target. I walked into that next class, and lo and behold, she was right there in that classroom. And guess who was comforting her? The teacher. Come to find out, that young lady was the daughter of my teacher. How many of you think I wanted to walk to that classroom? I walked in, I saw that, and I was ashamed. I had no place to go but the principal's office. The only time I ever got with the principal's office, and if my mom was listening, you didn't know about this. Because my dad would have beat me black and blue if he'd have found out. How he didn't find out, I don't know, but I praise God for that. But anyway, I walked in that classroom, I was totally ashamed because what I had done. Do you realize that if you stand before God in your own merit, that you're going to have nothing to be unashamed about? You're going to stand before God in everything you have ever done. The lies you've told, the thoughts that you've had, the deeds that you have done. You're going to stand naked before God, and He's going to say to you, "Get away from me, depart from me, for I never knew you." Because you're doing it on your own. But if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you stand before God, the only thing God's going to see is the blood of Christ covering you. There will be no shame. There'll be no remembrance of what you did in the past. I hated when I walked in that classroom. All I had was shame. But one day, when I stand before God, all my shame is gone because of what Jesus has done. How about you? Be honest this morning. It's just us. How many of you have something to be ashamed of in your past? How many of you would hate to stand before God in your deeds and give an account for what you have done on your behalf? How many of you are grateful that the blood of Christ has covered all of that? You say, "Brother Brian, that hasn't happened in my life yet." Well, may I help you this morning? I'm not asking you to be a Baptist. I'm not asking you to join the church. I'm not asking you to do anything other than trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Confess your sins to Him. "God, I can't do it on my own. I can't save myself. I need Jesus Christ to be my Savior. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's what it says. So then you can stand before God unashamed. Fast forward to my senior year. That young lady got off the crutches, and I went up to her and I asked her to go to a dance with me. I had forgiven you, I'd apologized and everything else. And I said, "Would you go to the dance with me?" And she looked at me and she said, "No." So you thought it was going to be a happy ending, didn't you? Because she remembered what I had done. And she said, "Are you out of your mind?" When I stand before God now, He says, "Come on. Come on. But God, I don't remember that. Come on. Christ is now your life. Christ is now your life. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand together this morning. Four truths. I've given you four passages of Scripture this morning. I want you to go back and I want you to take the time this week to look over them and ask God, speak to me through these words, God. Do you have ears to hear? He'll speak to you and teach you. Now, without bowing your heads and closing your eyes, let me say this to you. I hesitate sometimes to preach about going to hell or anything else because I don't want to hurt people's feelings. That's just natural. But I love you enough to tell you the truth. Think about this for a minute. You answer to yourself. If Corona got you today, if you got outside and got hit by a truck or whatever, well, thank you, Mr. Sunshine. But if you died today, honestly, where would your soul go? Where would it be? It's not a game. If you can't say, well, I'd go to heaven, I know Jesus is my Savior, today's the day that you can make sure of that. Now, if you know Jesus is your Savior, I've given you four passages of Scripture that you can celebrate and you can use and understand what God has given to you. Are you grateful for God? Are you grateful for what He's done? Now's the time of decision. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes because I don't want to embarrass anybody. Please, everybody, bow your head and close your eyes. Two questions. Number one, Brother Brian, I know that I'm not perfect and I know I've made mistakes and my life is a mess sometimes, but I know without a shadow of doubt that Jesus Christ is my Savior and I want to praise Him for it. Would you just lift your hand this morning? Praise the Lord. I don't see all the hands, and that's fine. I'm not trying to count hands. But number two, how many could honestly, the head bowed, eyes closed, how many could say, Brother Brian, I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure. Would you raise your hand so I can pray for you this morning? Anybody like that at all? Brother Brian, I'm not sure. I see that hand. Thank you for your honesty. Somebody else. Here's the request now. Christians, beloved in Christ, will you please pray for those who don't know Jesus as their Savior right now? And then, would you ask God to help you to apply what His Word has so clearly taught you today? That's my prayer. And I'm asking you to do the same thing. If you have a need, salvation, church membership, whatever the need is, the altar's open. Won't you come? Won't you come this morning? Heavenly Father, You know our hearts. It's a wicked world we live in, but I thank You that You have overcome the world. I thank You that You sent Your Son Jesus to die for us. And I'm asking You, God, that You would help me to apply these four truths today. I pray for the precious souls that right now don't know Christ as their Savior. Whether they acknowledged it or not by raising their hand, You know and they know. Please, God, save them. Draw them to You. Encourage the Christians. Encourage those who know You as Savior. Encourage them to draw near to You. Please, God, You're the only hope we have. And it's in Christ's name I ask this. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Michelle is going to play. If you have a need, I invite you to come. Will not tarry long, but I'm inviting you. Won't you come? Won't you come this morning, whatever the need is?